When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I'm Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The topic of our podcast today is the Pleasant Ridge Privy Disaster, Brandy, also known as Death by Poop. Your thoughts on that?
I would agree.
It is Death by Poop. It is a sad, actually.
It is a sad story. It's awful. Yes,
but it is Death by Poop.
That's a shitty thing to happen to somebody, Timmy.
It is.
We would like to welcome you to History Dweebs. We would like to remind you, we are a true crime, well, kind of true crime, sometimes true crime, sometimes something else. History podcast, we use adult language. We're a comedy podcast.
Here's a hint for you. We're going to do an episode of people dying smothered in shit. Okay, if that's too much for your sensitive ass, just take your ass on down the road.
Well, you may want to try, if you're easily offended, you may want to try one of the other wonderful independently produced podcasts out there, like our friends with They Walk Among Us, Already Gone, Insight. What else, Brandy? History Goes Bump. A lot of good independently produced podcasts out there that don't talk about poop. And
sometimes they do, Timmy. Sometimes
they don't use adult language, foul language, Brandy.
They don't.
I know Nina never uses no adult language, Timmy. She's a lady. I wish we could get her on our podcast, Timmy.
And she doesn't talk about poop very often.
Not often. Not often. That's what we need on here, Timmy. A dignified.
A lady is what you're saying.
A lady, yes.
Well,
a lady of the evening.
A lady of the evening. I don't think you should. I don't think Nina is a lady of the evening. She's very.
Well, we got a lady of the evening.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Not this evening. It's past my bedtime.
It is. It is. We're recording
you got
late.
Those sexy Victoria's Secret sweatpants on, devil.
Well, no, those are my good sweatpants. I got on the ones with the holes in them.
Oh, okay.
And we should point out that this is how pathetic our lives is. It's about 8 p.m. Eastern time on New Year's Eve night. And here we are.
This is how goddamn dedicated we are to you people.
Or how pathetic we are.
When we're begging for money on Patreon, that's why. Because we will work it. Up to the end of the year and at the beginning of the year, Timmy.
Well, he is like James Brown.
7-Eleven here.
He's like James Brown, Brandy.
He's not like James Brown at all.
All right, let me introduce our panel. As they've already rudely interrupted me. Let me introduce our panel. I am proud to introduce.
I was called upon.
I know you were.
Interrupt you.
You followed proper protocol. Let me introduce a lady who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy?
I'm it's New Year's Eve and I'm with you fuckers again.
So, are you happy to be spending the last hours of 2018 with Colonel and I?
No, I'd rather be spending it with,
anyone else.
but here we are.
Here we are.
I gotta hurry up and get this recorded. I gotta be somewhere and watch some balls drop, Timmy.
Brandy, would you
does not count?
I was just gonna leave that one up to you. Okay, is that enough Brandy time, Colonel?
That's plenty of Brandy time, Timmy.
Let me introduce
them. We'll be talking to her into 2020 if she lets give her the opportunity.
Let me introduce the man.
Well, I know. I want to guess that when you ask Charles how he's doing, he's not going to be good.
Okay, you're gonna lay money on that.
And then we get to hear that fucking saga of whatever the fuck happened.
And a story that makes no sense.
Exactly.
A man, let me introduce a man who is known as the moral compass of podcasting. A man who's been, he's been described as an oasis, Brandy, in the desert of despair.
He's not.
A man
the
of God.
The Yoda of podcasting?
The Yoda podcasting. He's a man of God. The Reverend, the Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel? On this last day.
Couldn't be better, Timmy. Couldn't
well,
be better.
See, Brandy? Yes. Couldn't be better.
Right. Couldn't be better.
Yeah.
Couldn't be better. Blah. What could be better than spending New Year's Eve with you two freaks recording History Dweebs?
I don't think there's anything better than that. Unless you would spend it recording naked.
I am naked.
Okay.
It's New Year's Eve.
So you so you're sitting at your computer naked is what you're telling us?
Well, we're Skyping.
Not the first time. Tell. Not the first time he's done that, I'm sure.
Keep your hands above the keyboards. Yeah. So, Colonel, what's going on with your life? Because people are interested in your life.
Well, Timmy knows Christmas time, so I had the boys home.
Yes.
I have created a little special sound studio in my basement just so I can record. So we get good sound, Timmy, because you know I like for our listeners to have high quality, high fidelity audio, Timmy.
Well, you always think of our listeners first, Colonel.
Well, I do, Timmy.
That's why you're always on time for these to record this stuff, and always bring your.
I was in the trailer, Timmy. I was waiting for him to call me.
I see. Did you bring your script? As I hope you did.
Oddly, I did, Timmy.
It is odd. What do you think about that, Brandy?
Hey, I'm calling bullshit. We'll see when it gets to his part.
Okay. Shall we talk about the Pleasant Ridge Privy disaster, Brandy?
Well, let's make sure that Chuck and his riveting story are done. Oh, good. They're done. Okay. Go ahead.
No, Timmy. Anyways, New Year's Eve. Now, on New Year's Eve, what I like to do, Timmy, is sit and reflect.
Reflect on past year?
On the past year and my goals for the next year, Timmy.
You have goals. You're such a liar. You don't have goals.
He's very goal oriented. Yeah.
You know me, I'm driven, devil. I'm driven.
Yeah.
So I'm just sitting down here writing down some goals.
What are some of them, Colonel? Would you like to share them with our listeners?
One is to find one talking monkey, Timmy. If we could get one talking monkey, we could make this podcast great again.
So you're thinking about replacing one of our current panel members?
Yes, not the one who does the research, Timmy.
Okay. If you could find a monkey that does research and talks, that would be
and talks. I'd have a mate.
So you're proposing replacing Brandy with a talking monkey, basically. That's what you're saying.
If anybody out there knows of a talking monkey,
there's probably one out. I mean, you probably find one on eBay, don't you think?
We might be able to. There's probably a whole less species than what we got right now.
Yeah, they've got to have their feces throwing under control because I don't want to be in a room with a feces throwing monkey, Brandy. We're going to talk about feces in this
podcast.
That's
why we record remotely, Timmy. I mean, if we're being honest with everybody, that's why we record remotely because a girl likes to throw feces.
You know, if we're being honest, Timmy, you fuckers are lucky I'm half in the bag. We're doing this because otherwise I might be upset by this. But you go ahead.
He was calling you terrible names before we connected on Skype. But
and there's no reason. I was here on time.
Ain't nothing I'm not a mom. I ain't called her before.
So do you have any other goals, Colonel, for, 2019?
Make this podcast great again, Timmy.
It's certainly not to be on time.
Remember sometimes, Timmy, when we would do the highbrow episodes when it was just me and you?
Yes.
Talk about intellectual stuff. But now we got her. And you know what? We're talking about people falling into poo, Timmy. People falling into poo.
It is it is a tragedy, Colonel.
For the record, I didn't pick this shit.
This shit.
You know, so someone on our Facebook page mentioned that. Remember a long time ago we did the podcast and we had the poo chart of the different colors and textures of poop? Someone mentioned that the other day. And I was thinking about that. And I looked it up on the internet. Do you know that some people poop white poop?
Yeah, that's bad.
That's not good to me.
If I see white poop, I am running. I mean, I'm going to run. I see the white poop. I'm running right to the urgent care. I'm not even pulling up my pants, Colonel.
No, don't even do that. It's ghost poop. You don't have to run to urgent care.
It's not ghost poop. It's bad. I mean,
it's not good. But let's, I don't want to offend anyone out there. So if any of our listeners, you have white poop, we are an inclusive podcast.
Go to the doctor for real.
Colonel, we don't discriminate against white poop, do we?
We don't, no.
Yes.
But this is the more you know thing, Timmy. Mm-hmm. If you poop white, go see your doctor.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about this poop disaster, shall we? Because it really is a sad story, even though Brandy is making light of it, Colonel.
Oh, yeah. People died. This shit caused people to die.
I want to first say that a lot of the research on this story came from a 2014 article in Belt Magazine. It's an online magazine by a local historian by the name of Richard O. Jones. And I just want to give him credit because a lot of this came from
Dickie Jones.
It came
Dickie
from
Jones, my friend Dickie Jones.
No, this guy's a good guy. He has a website called – I want to give him a shout-out since he's providing us with so much material. He has a website called True Crime Historian that probably a lot of our listeners would like. So check out True Crime Historian. It's a blog, and he goes back and he writes about some of the old crimes way back. So it's really cool.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it is. It is. So he covered it. He wrote this article on this disaster in 2014. He's from here in Cincinnati, and this story takes place in Cincinnati. Pleasant Ridge is a
– I was thinking Pleasant Ridge is right up the road.
Yeah, it's a residential neighborhood here in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Since they mentioned it on the news every motherfucking night, I would hope you'd know.
Yes.
Well, I'm sure it's not the only Pleasant Ridge in the United States, devil.
Well, it could be an unpleasant ridge.
Had you read the script beforehand, you would know.
I like to improvise, devil. I like to be fresh. When I hear these words, I like them to be fresh.
You know what? I like that too, except I had some time on my hands waiting on you to get on the call, so I perused it. And that's how I found
it. Maybe you'll get the words right this time, Devil.
You know, the reason why I give you these scripts days ahead of time is for you to read them.
I did.
Pleasant Ridge is a residential
in Cincinnati.
It's a residential neighborhood in Cincinnati, Ohio, where we live, of course.
It's a gaslight residential neighborhood.
It is. It's
there.
It's right there on the screen. One of the most diverse communities in the entire area, Brandy. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Okay. Pleasant Ridge has a population of 8,000 people. That was according to the 2010 census, Colonel. It's the neighborhood is home of the Pleasant Ridge School, which makes sense. I mean,
that's not too goddamn original, Timmy.
I'm naming it.
The school has been educating young people in Pleasant Ridge since 1882, Brandy. A long time.
Long time ago.
The story takes place. This is the topic of our podcast. It's on Pleasant Ridge School. On September 23rd, 1904, Colonel. Pleasant Ridge School became the site of a horrific disaster which claimed the lives of 9 children, which is sad, Brandy. We are not making fun of this disaster. It's just that it's poop involved and we're immature. When the floor of the outhouse gave way as the children were seeking shelter from a thunderstorm. So this is, it's, like I said, this is kind of a very tragic.
Turned into a shit storm, Tim.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Get all of your poo comments out so we can get on with this enthralling story, shall we?
I apologize, Timmy. I will try to be professional.
Talking monkeys would take this more seriously than you guys are. Would read the shit before we're scheduled
again,
to go in air.
I want it stated that I did read it.
You read it.
I just read it now.
You read it because Chuck was late. You don't get credit for that.
Whatever. It's you know, I should.
Brandy, you know what an outhouse is?
I do.
They still use them.
some people outside the United States might not realize what an outhouse is. It goes by other names, of course.
It's an outdoor shitter.
It's called a latrine. It's called a Johnny on the spot. Could be named a lot of different things, but it's called a small
Johnny on the spot.
What are they called? They're called.
I don't goddamn know.
But all right. But then
Johnny on the spot. Hit Johnny on the spot.
Anyway, they're separate little buildings or structures that are used for men and women to use the facilities, right? To use the bathroom. They're typically either a pit latrine, which means that there's a pit underneath the outhouse. Or they're a bucket toilet, which means you pee or poo into a bucket. And back in the day, before there were indoor plumbing, everybody who owned a home had an outhouse. And for schools, they had outhouses. And they typically were larger than the outhouses used for homes because they were serving more people, right? So, and in most cases, there was a boy outhouse and a little girl outhouse. Brandy, your thoughts on that?
Okay.
Cool. And that was the case with Pleasant Ridge. Pleasant Ridge School. They had 2 outhouses in 1904. One for boys in 1904. You're correct. That was 114 years ago. A little over 114 years ago.
Yeah.
Pleasant Ridge School had two privies located directly behind the school, Colonel. You're fascinated.
Better than right up by the front yard.
Yeah, you don't want to put that in the front yard. That's tacky.
Yeah. I wonder if it had one of those little half moon crescent moons in it, Timmy.
Oh, I don't know. That's fancy, Brandy.
That is fancy.
So on, let me tell you what happened on the day of this tragedy, Brandy.
They're like wooden porta potties.
Yeah, porta potties. That's what I was thinking. I'm not Johnny on the spot. Porta potty.
Do you get that stuff?
I don't know.
It don't rhyme or anything, man. Come on.
They used to call them that. Like when they had carnivals and stuff in my hometown, they would bring in these Johnny on the spots. I think it was the name of the company that owned them or something. But anyway,
I digress, Brandy.
Let me tell you what happened on. Let me set the picture, Colonel, because you know, Colonel, we like to set.
I love when you set a stage for a set a scene for me, Timmy. I'm just going to sit back here and picture it in my head.
Okay, you do that. On September 23rd, 1904. Although the morning paper said it would be a fair, warm day, the horizon darkened, Brandy, with looming rain. Looming rain, Brandy.
Oh, my God. Have you ever seen rain loom? It's some beautiful work.
Principal Thomas L. Zimmerman watched the fidgeting children, Brandy, line up in the hall and decided to give them a few minutes of frolic and exercise, Colonel.
I don't like when children frolic to me.
Well, you know, they were trying to get recess because they were jittery. Yeah. A little rain, he figured, would not hurt him.
Get him outside. Exercise.
Exactly. So he decides it was a Friday. Kids were restless. So he decides, Friday morning, so he decides to let them go out and play a little bit, have a recess, right? At precisely 10:15 a.m. on September 23rd, 1904. Got that date down yet, Brandy?
On it. It's in the vault.
Thank you. Zimmerman rang the bell. One ominous clang to release the students.
Release the Krakens.
Of the Pleasant Ridge School for morning recess. And then he watched as they filed outside, Brandy. I think that means they lined up. Not that they actually had files and they were filing, you know, or they were filing like paperwork or anything. They just formed a line. A queue, Colonel.
A queue.
Yeah, that's Brandy. That's English for a line.
Oh, my God. Yes. Duh.
The school enrollment was up
as opposed to, Timmy, where they were headed being the loo.
That's true. We didn't use the loo. You're right, Colonel.
They were in a queue for the loo, Timmy.
No, they were not in the queue.
The queue to go outside, you fucktard.
They're going outside. They're not at the loo yet, Colonel.
Oh, okay.
They're not going to the head yet. The school's enrollment, Brandy, was up by nearly half this year.
Well, some
297 children altogether.
That's almost 300.
That's
a goddamn lot of kids.
If they had three Siamese twins, they would be at 300, Brandy.
No, you only count Siamese twins as one, Timmy.
Really? For the state only counts them as one.
For funding purposes, they count Siamese twins as one, Timmy.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Around 50 of the students came from a nearby village of Rossimo. I don't know where that is. Do you, Colonel?
I don't think it exists.
Yeah, I've been there.
It might not be. It may be a different name now. But it was another local community. Right. Their school had been condemned by the state. So they moved the kids in this other little village that that obviously has changed its name by now. They moved them to Pleasant Ridge, and that's why they had an increase so much in their a 50% increase in their
attendance.
Yeah. In defiance of an unpopular board of election, the village had three times had failed to pass a bond issue to construct a new school. So his students were reassigned to Pleasant Ridge. So they had some school problems.
There's nothing worse than you can't raise bond, Timmy.
Yeah.
You can't raise bond.
Apparently they couldn't raise bond to do anything because the village no longer exists. So that's what happens. You don't pay taxes, Brandy.
Goddamn right.
Taxes are the man's way of keeping you down.
Caring little about threatening skies, Colonel, the boys immediately started a game of baseball.
Because boys are dumb, and that's the shit that they do. It don't matter if it's a fucking tornado or a tsunami or whatever. Let's go outside.
Can we stop for a minute?
Mm-hmm.
Does it seem to you that the devil might be slurring her words a bit? You already been into the liquor, devil.
I know you
smelled like alcohol 4 o'clock at work today.
Don't worry about 4 o'clock at work today. You worry about yourself. Don't worry about myself.
I'm sure it's just sky blagging. I'm sure it's not Brandy's.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. The girls scattered around the playground and in smaller groups. They probably got together to admire the boys because you know how the girls are.
No, they were all talking about each other. That's what the fuck was happening there. There was some mean girl shit there.
I don't know, Brandy. Women, no, girls get together. They like to look at us, don't they, Colonel?
They do.
Inappropriate comments
they
about it.
Justify us, Timmy. They
mm-hmm.
First of all, Walt Cleaver, you're very little of what we talk about. Mainly talk about other women, other girls on the playground, which is mean.
That's only the softball team, devil.
That's what girls do.
That's only the girls playing softball.
So you're saying, Colonel, that the lesbians in that group went out and started a softball game.
Gravitated toward the baseball field. Yeah.
Yes, because in 1904, that's what you did was have a bunch of little girls get together and talk about how they were lesbians.
Mm.
You don't think
there were
in my mind, that's what happened.
New invention or something?
No, I don't
lesbians
think
it's been around forever.
Well, and the Colonel and I are very supportive of lesbians, Brandy.
We are supportive of lesbians.
You know what? Go lesbians. That's fine. I'm just saying that's not what was happening.
Well, you seem to be a bit judgmental on that.
You
on
do.
That score.
Mm-hmm. If we had a lesbian on the podcast, which we do because she went to college on a softball scholarship, I'll be team lesbian. But instead, she denies it, and she just says she's Brandy. So I'm not
self-loathing, I think it's called, Colonel.
It is. Denial, devil, denial. Mm.
God, we're just kidding. We love all people. So Zimmerman, the principal, had misguided, had misjudged the proximity of the approaching storm, Brandy.
Well, he's not a fucking meteorologist.
Well, I don't think Kate even had meteorology in 1904, Brandy. Don't be silly. This is 1904.
Well,
he didn't have Doppler radar back then.
I know. So he misjudged it.
Open a book,
he's not a professional.
That's just silly. Yeah. Silly talk.
What?
You know, it's a, you know, Timmy, you know, I have a lesbian daughter on my own, so you know I'm partial to the lesbian crowd. I'm lesbian friendly. But you know,
like
what I got cursed, Timmy, a little bit. I got the one lesbian in the world who did not like softball or sports, Timmy.
No. Oh, well, I'm sorry about that, Colonel.
Well, you know how much I love baseball, Timmy.
Yeah.
And when she told me she was a lesbian, I was all happy. I was all thinking about those softball games and whatever. And didn't get to go to Nary One, Timmy.
I'm sorry. But, you know, you could have went to Brandy's games.
I know. But she...
Brandy, did you add... Was there ever, like, a spontaneous, like, groping or kissing or something that went on in your softball team?
No.
Just curious.
No.
Did you ever have pillow fights, Devil?
No.
Panties and pillow fights and pennies and bra?
Did your economics professor come to the games?
No. See how he always tries to work in that economics professor?
I know. I feel like he's jealous. I wish he'd stop being so.
Because the economics professor, well.
Why is he so obsessed with me?
We just love learning more about you, Brandy.
We do. Tell us more, Devil.
Chuck's a hater. Chuck's jealous. Chuck, I'm married.
He wishes that he had known you so he could go to your softball games.
I would have cheered for you. Go, Devil.
Let me tell you something. Had he known
swing, swing,
were you any good, Brandy?
Yeah.
What position did you play?
I was an outfielder.
Really?
That's where they put you when you sucked.
Not.
Would you switch? Were you put in right field?
No, I did not play right field.
Were you right-handed or left-handed, Devil?
Right-handed.
Would you say you was more of a power hitter, singles hitter? What was you?
My senior year, I had a slugging average of .387.
Okay.
So that's not bad.
That's not bad, but let me ask you this.
No, that's about a good batting average, Devil.
Did you all shower together?
Average. No.
Did they ban that?
No.
Is that wrong?
No. What?
Is that wrong?
Is what wrong? We know we didn't.
Women showering
together.
Is that
wrong?
No.
Right. No.
Because you know that happens. It crosses my mind from time to time, so I just want to make sure it's not that I'm having impure thoughts or anything. All right,
that weirdo. It's fucking weird.
Okay, let's get on back to the story.
I know what Timmy's porn hamster is going to look like tonight.
Man, I know, right? It's going to be wearing leather.
I'm just saying, if there's a handful of girls and they're showering together, get all soapy, Colonel. You know what I mean, Colonel?
Lady Hamster's got a ball gag.
What is she talking about? You're silly. Completely silly.
Try to be professional, Devil.
Please.
It's Timmy's porn hamster.
I have ex-hamster. That's what you're talking about. Like, why do they put comment sections under porn? I mean,
you know what?
Because what? I got rotten tomatoes. I mean, you don't want to get bad porn.
Do you ever like anything? You click like on this? I mean, you could share that shit to Facebook.
I know. Who wants to do that?
I don't know.
You know what else? No. Do you know what else I've never understood?
Siamese twin midgets porn or something. What?
I never understood that. But I've also never understood why you'd want to watch the blooper reel. Like, I get why you want to watch.
It's not very fun. Yeah.
But I don't need the blooper reel on there. Why is that? What is that? It takes away magic.
They script your lines or something.
No, it's like somebody will fart or something. It's not even good.
Oh, gross. All right, let's get back to the story.
It's magic.
People tuned in for this story, so let's stay on topic.
To hear about some shithole.
They want to know about the killer poop. So the principal had misjudged the storm, right? Only a few minutes passed before the wind kicked up and the first scattered raindrops started to fall. The ball game continued for another few minutes because, you know, the boys are idiots.
They don't give a shit.
Well, they didn't have aluminum bats. I mean, it wasn't you were going to get electrocuted.
And they probably didn't even notice it was raining. Like, they call them in and they're like, what? Why?
While the girls huddled together, Colonel.
Of course they did.
But they didn't seek.
That's a bad idea in the thunderstorm. Don't huddle together.
They didn't seek shelter until a sudden downpour caught them off guard. Well, the boys played ball, and most of the girls ran toward the school building.
Except.
But some of the girls, at least 30 of the girls, made a dash to one of the outhouses that was closer, you know, in proximity to them than the school was.
And here's the thing. I don't give a good goddamn how close it is to me. I'm not the shitter.
You're going right to the main building is what you're saying.
That's a shelter of last resort, really.
Exactly. Mm. That if I'm on a
Well, let me tell you about that. Now, let me tell you about that particular outhouse. The outhouse was whitewashed, 10-foot square frame building. It was positioned over a 12-foot deep stone vault. And so that's where the poo would go, right? The waste would go. And located
store the poo in a vault, I mean, because you want to keep it safe.
And it was located on the east side of the Pleasant Ridge School. The building was 11 years old and had been repaired several times, Randy.
I don't ever want the combination to that vault, ever.
It was 11 years old and already had to be repaired. So I'd say that's a shitty contractor right there, Timmy.
Just a year prior, the school hired a carpenter to install new seats and to replace the flooring and siding. The carpenter presumed that the building was sound when he laid the new floor over the old one. So it doesn't sound like they
do a shitty job.
Yeah.
They didn't get an Angie's List.
No, he did not. He did a kind of a crappy job. Yeah. All right.
Yes.
Timmy, I just want to add a cautionary tale here, Timmy.
Okay.
For bad weather. Mm-hmm. A couple years ago on a local golf course here, Timmy, I will not name it because it's too seedy. Mm-hmm. A couple got caught in a thunderstorm, Timmy, and they became a little amorous.
They were doing the dirty.
They were doing the dirty when lightning struck the tree, traveled down, hit them both, killed them, and welded them together, Timmy. Welded them together.
It's like dogs. You have to throw water on them, maybe.
These people, they had to saw his wien off to separate them, Timmy. I'm not really sure, but...
They have to hit them with a spray. They have to squirt them with the spray bottle to get them to quit.
Yeah, that's a tragic
tale. It happened.
Yeah, I know. That's tragic.
I don't think it did happen.
It was here, too, I think, in Cincinnati.
No,
we'll have to do a story.
Right over here on the west side, Timmy.
Yeah, west side, Brandy.
It was.
And you know what? God didn't even yell four before he smited them for doing that on the
golf course. You shouldn't be doing that sort of thing on the golf course, Brandy.
No.
On the softball field, it's okay.
Yeah,
it is.
No.
Brandy, did you ever hit a home run and you ran the bases And at the home plate was one of your teammates who just gave you a big French kiss right there on home plate.
No.
I saw that in a movie.
Did you?
Yeah. So, okay. So that's the building.
And then they ordered pizza and didn't have money to pay for it.
Exactly.
It was a tragic tale, actually.
Yeah.
So okay. So the girls, 30 of these girls run in, dash into this outhouse that obviously is not in the best repair, right? Elise Shore, who was 14, was one of among the first girls to enter the privy. When she saw how many girls were trying to squeeze into this small, smelly space, she had a vision of the floor collapsing, and she tried to get out, but there was a bottleneck on the other side of the door that pushed her back inside. 12-year-old
out. She was bouncing up out of there.
Yeah, she couldn't get out, though. 12-year-old Hazel Sonor heard someone say, and this is a quote, "Oh, what if this would break down with us in here?"
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, basically, that's kind of their fear. And so, there were at least 31 girls, maybe as many as 35, inside this, you know, this tiny little outhouse. In this, when the floor fell from underneath them, Brandy, the collapse began on the south side of the building. The floor fell nearly 8 feet straight down, and it just fell apart, churning with the children falling down into this pit, stone vault, where there was a pool of foul water and Lord knows what else, waste. Four feet deep, Brandy. And oh, there was children in there as young as 7 years old. So 35 of them.
Could have been 4 foot tall.
This is not good. Yeah, there was no crash at all. There was no noise whatsoever. The floor just fell out from underneath them. That's all there was to it. Not a child scream. One girl, Edith Smells, she felt the floor giving way, and she jumped quickly, clutching to the side of the door. She's smart, Colonel. She was left hanging on the side and was pulling herself up with all of her strength. Five other girls escaped the same way. So some of them were acting quickly, and they jumped onto the side of this privy. Some of the girls had climbed up on the toilet seats to make room for others, and managed to hop from one side to to the doorway. So it was, as you can imagine, Brandy, there was panic there, Brandy.
Pandemonium.
I'm going to just give you a description of what this Hazel Sonor said. She says, "I remember sinking down and smothering. Can you imagine? When I found I could breathe again, I just felt like I was awakening from a dream. I caught hold of the stones on the side and held myself up so I could breathe." So some of these girls by this point are underneath the poo, right?
Right.
"I felt the soft, struggling bodies of a lot of the girls around me and underneath me as, you know, she was standing on top of them. They touched me. I could see some heads sometimes, and then I saw just their feet." So these people are – I mean, these little girls are basically drowning in this waste, right? Very, very, very traumatic experience. So, Brandy, tell us what happens next.
Well, Edna Gerke said that everything became really dark and everyone was clutching at her neighbor while there was a terrible outcry. "I think every girl was crying at the top of her voice. We were all tangled up with each other and struggled to get free."
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I was pushed about and someone attempted to climb up on my shoulders. I made a grab for a stone I could see projecting above my head, and for a moment I held on. But there were so many tugging at me that the weight tore my hold loose and I went down. Even then, the struggle continued under the water. With desperation, I freed myself and looking up saw daylight, which I never expected to behold again.
It's almost like they're in like a coal mine or something, you know, a mining disaster.
Yeah, it's bad. I think it's worse.
Yeah, because it's a poo disaster. Yeah. But I mean, you know,
yeah,
where you can't breathe, you can't get out.
Well,
and all these little girls are scared to death, obviously.
Sure.
I've seen some shit, but nothing like that, Timmy.
Mm.
In the panic that ensued, it became a battle for life. The girls unwittingly pitted against each other for survival as they tried to climb out of the vault in the 4-foot-deep pool of waste. Elsie Shore and her playmate, Ida Breach, held on to each other on the way down and helped each other stay above the muck. The weaker ones were crushed down by the stronger and forced under the massive filth to their death, reported the Cincinnati Inquirer. Lorena Ferguson was just entering the door, standing on the sill when the floor dropped away right in front of her eyes.
Oh, that had to be scary.
Yeah. Clara Steinkamp, 8, grabbed her dress from behind and kept her from falling in on top of the friends in front of her. After she took a good look at the terrible scene unfolding below, she made a dash for the school to get help. So Principal Zimmerman, my man, said that after the students left the building, he walked across the hallway to speak to one of the teachers. A few minutes later, two of the little girls ran into the room and exclaimed that a girl had taken a fall into the vault. Zimmerman did not realize the awful calamity that had overcome them, but hurried in the direction of the outbuilding. On the way, I'm assuming Zimmerman met a number of others. They were screaming wildly at the top of their voices, and it was some time before one of them could compose herself sufficiently to explain what happened. Let's see. Another little girl ran to the high school classroom, which was still in session, and alerted Miss Una Venable of the collapse. She and the four high school boys rushed for the outhouse and arrived at the same time as Principal Zimmerman. What do you think about that, Timmy?
Oh, I think that would be very scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the girls are hysterical, and, you know, I don't think they have a way to get these girls out.
Well, I wouldn't think so.
Mm.
But it's only 8 foot down, Timmy.
Mm. Continue, Brandy.
Let's see. No warning from the hysterical girl screaming in the rain could have prepared Zimmerman for what he was about to discover. There was only one narrow door to the outhouse. The dozen toilet seats were still attached to the three sides of the wall, but there was no floor at all. The sight of the girls, some of them scrambling to climb the walls, others struggling to keep their heads above the sickening waist, and nearly all of them screaming, "Help me and save me," caused the principal to stagger back and almost faint. You know what, dude? You got to sack up here, Zimmerman.
Well, I mean, you know,
he's getting the vapors. It's time. It's time for you to sack up. Give me a fucking break.
A little judgmental there.
Yeah.
Continue, Brandy.
You ready for judgmental? William Schultz, 20. Like, are they still in school? No, they were.
Yeah.
Okay. And his friend John Carell, 18, had been across the street in the Presbyterian Church's Mains, whatever, with Pastor Ira D. Lambert, the town barber Gilwright. The fuck?
He's a priest, he's a minister, and he is a barber.
No, they're two different people.
Okay.
I don't know why the barber's there, whatever. And a few others when they heard the shrill screams of the girls running away from the outhouse in the pouring rain.
Keep in mind, it's also storming right now, right?
Well, yeah, and old boy's got the vapors, so.
Yeah, you're too hard on principle.
We really do sound like we're on Cheech and Chong's happy hour. I'm just saying. Let's see. The men peered through a window, but they couldn't see anything. As they looked, they began to hear the fainter screams of girls trapped in the vault. Gross. They could make out pleas of Mama and Papa. They looked from one to the other for a moment as the horrible reality of what they were hearing began to set in. Without exchanging a word, the men ran out into the rain into the girls' outhouse. The horrified men looked down into the pit. The surface, dimly seen in the half gloom caused by the outhouse roof, was but a mass of writhing, childish bodies which rose and sank under the filth which had filled the pit. Yeah, because it's probably raining in there now, so you're getting all kinds of mud.
Yeah, it's gross, yeah.
Yeah. Principal Zimmerman, after getting some smelling salts and fanned off by somebody, quickly rallied.
He rallied, see? He was all hard on him, Brandy. He rallied.
He called out for a rope and ladders, and
That's smart.
He's on it. He rallied.
He rallied.
And Miss Venable's boys leapt into action. Zimmerman dropped to the ground and leaned as far as he could over the vault's edge, but he couldn't reach any of the girls. The men held onto his legs and lowered him down further and managed to rescue three girls this way before the ladders and ropes arrived.
So they're having him by the ankles, basically, lowering him down there, yeah.
Right.
So you were a little harsh on Principal Zimmerman, Brandy.
No, I was not. But the stepladders from the school were too short. Really, these fuckers couldn't figure that out. And the ropes were clothesline that proved to be as rotten as the privy joists. So they what they got was tits on a boar useless. They just fucking wasted time getting.
Yes. Yes.
Let's see. Mr. What's his butt? Reached
Zimmerman.
Down the rope. Zimmerman.
And Chuck, are you typing, Chuck?
I'm just checking to make sure the script's good, Timmy.
I see. But you know that when you type, everyone hears that.
I know that.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure you knew that.
How much work we put into this, Timmy?
Yes, I know. You're doing a fine job. Continue, Brandy.
Whatever, he types like Beaker from the Muppets. Let's see. So Zimmerman reaches
Mr.
down.
Zimmerman, please. Show him some respect.
Yeah.
Principal Zimmerman.
Cinnamon reaches down with a rope and told some little girl to grab it. Her name was Kathy Highland, and she wrapped it around her hand, and he drew her up pretty near the top when, surprise, surprise, the rope broke, and she fell back again. She sank down, and a hand pulled her under. Another rope broke.
It's just like Nightmare.
Yeah, another rope broke in the same way. Then James Smith, 16, evidently the only motherfucker in the place that's got any goddamn sense is a 16-year-old boy, really. He climbed into the belfry and brought the rope off the bell.
That's smart, Colonel. You got to admit that's smart.
Yeah.
Mm. He went up to the belfry.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if he saw bats.
He might have saw bats.
Yeah.
I wonder if they ran into any rats in that, Timmy, because if you ever run into a shithouse rat, they're just crazy.
Mm. Yeah, it's not a good situation because right at this point they're kind of climbing on, and you know the smaller girls are the ones that are under the,
yeah,
you know what I mean. They're getting stepped on, and
well, it reminds me of an old joke, Timmy.
No, it doesn't. Perfect. It does.
Well, do you think it would be inappropriate to tell that joke at this particular time?
I can already
time?
Tell you it is. It is.
I don't believe it is. This is a good one, Timmy.
Which he says it's a good one.
A man
Brandy.
Dies, and he's given a tour, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
He dies, and he's given a tour, and unfortunately, he doesn't make it to the pearly gates. So
okay.
He's given a choice, Timmy, of these three rooms, and one room is they're hitting people with canes and whips and whatnot, and yeah, I don't know, I don't think I like that room. And then he goes to the other room, and they're branding him with the Jesus, branding irons and everything else, Timmy. And there he's like, I don't think I want that room either. And he's like, all right,
people liking Brandy.
And then continue, people Colonel.
They don't
standing,
know him,
Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
Standing waist deep. And piles of poo, Timmy. Drinking
okay.
coffee. Like, okay. I don't think I'm going to
waist
like this
deep
either, but
in piles of poo, drinking coffee.
Drinking coffee, Timmy.
Well, if it's first thing in the morning, what else are you going to do?
So he says, you know, okay, I don't like the poo, but I think I'm going to go with this room.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil says, okay, there you go. This is your room. So as the devil walks out the door,
that.
Timmy,
mm-hmm.
he turns around, tells everybody, coffee breaks over, get back on your heads.
That's so stupid, Brandy. Oh, God. Continue, Brandy. That's just
I'm
so
not even
stupid.
Smiling. You are just fucking ridiculous.
So stupid. I don't know why people like him.
I know. And by the way, can I also state, that is not the way I delivered that line when I said it, when I was showing that guy. So he off.
Continue, Brandy.
My goddamn spot. All right. So while he's waiting for a longer ladder, I don't know why you got that big old belfry rope that the fucking dipshit 16-year-old got, but he's waiting for a longer ladder. Cinnamon begged the children to be quiet and be brave, and he promised that he would rescue them.
Yeah, well, Zimmerman's not, you know, in a pile of poo.
Well, so some of the older girls took his cue and tried to calm the girls, but it was of little use. One of the boys finally found a longer ladder in a barn about 100 yards away. Well, who'd have thought to look there at 100 yards away? Son of a bitch. For fuck's sake. And the principal dipped it into the muck. It was not long enough to reach all the way to the bottom of the vault. Wait a minute. It was not long enough to reach all the way from the bottom of the vault to the ledge.
Jesus Christ. It's like having a dyslexia.
Yeah. But it was close enough for government work and for Cinnamon. And some of the other men.
Timmy, can I real quick?
And lifted the girls out of the mess. Bucket Brigade style.
Okay, so the girls grabbed a hold of the ladder, basically, and they pulled it up, right? That's what you're saying?
I don't know what Bucket Brigade style is.
Yeah, it's Bucket Brigades. Come on, Brandy, you should know that.
Come on, for Christ's sake.
I know. The struggle down below was terrible, said Hazel Senior.
What is wrong? That's her name.
It's like you guys,
this is a fucking tragedy, guys.
Do you know? You know, she's struggling with the script here, and I joke about dyslexia, but it's not funny. But you know what is funny? When they try to tell a joke to me, and you know why?
Why?
Because they always punch up the fuck line, Timmy.
Brandy, right. Do you need help with the rest of your script?
Would you like me to jump in here and save you, Devil?
No, I'm golden. Thank you.
Okay.
So,
talking monkey, Colonel.
I think I closed out the window that my script's on. But anyway, go ahead.
That's probably what you were. You were probably Googling talking monkeys
He's finding his script. So,
well, you better find it because you only have a half a page and you're up.
Yeah. So the struggle down below was terrible, said Hazel. As long as I could get out of the water to take a breath of air, I felt sure of being saved. But when I fell back into the hole, I thought it was all over.
Have you ever come close to drowning, Brandy?
No, thank God, no.
Yeah, it's not a good experience.
No, that's a nightmare. And so you have?
Well, when I was young.
Surprised by that.
When I was young, surprised. You know, I was out on the lake and I jumped on a beach ball and it, you know, it took me under and I couldn't swim. So
jump in a lake if you can't swim?
Well, I was young and it was pretty scary, you know, because you can't swim, you just kind of sink. It was scary.
I don't understand. Why are you jumping on a lake if you can't swim?
I don't know. I thought I would learn. I don't know. But it was scary.
Yes, it's scary.
Anyway, continue, Brandy.
Jesus, God. All right. So the girls about me were grabbing onto me. Everyone grabbed at each other. And when we did get a hold of the wall, it was just for a second.
They're panicking at this point. Yeah.
Well, sure. I caught hold several times, but when I was pulled at by others, my hands slipped. There were only a few taken out, and when I felt something under my feet, it must have been some little girl that had drowned. At the time, I prayed. I said my prayers over and over. I could not see for a while. As I was praying to the Lord to save me, I found the rake in my hands. Then I came into the light, and I saw Principal Cinnamon. And I crawled up and was lifted out.
God, how scary had that? You had nightmares terrible. The rest of your fucking life over that.
After struggling in the crowd with her friends, 14-year-old Edna Gerke, good old Edna, again found the jutting stone and gave it another try. This time with two hands, she said, far above me, it seemed. Someone was coming down a ladder and called to me. Suddenly, someone took a hold of me. I looked back over my shoulder and saw the agonized faces of my friends. I then lost consciousness, and I knew no more until I woke up in the schoolroom, surrounded by the bodies of my friends.
You look down, and all your friends are, you know, you see them. You're getting out, and they're still there. You know, they're dying, basically.
Gerke's arms were severely bruised and punctuated by deep scratches. Wounds she attributed to clawing attempts of her classmates to climb up over her out of the foul water.
This sounds like a terrible horror movie, Timmy.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
The rain abated, but the respite in the weather did little to relieve the pandemonium. Many of the girls fainted soon after emerging from the vault, adding fear that they had succumbed to the terrible fumes of the vault to the overall confusion. Neighbors of the school offered their homes as triage centers. Rescues carried them out of the rain and into safety, where they were revived, cleaned up, and comforted.
Are you ready, Colonel?
When Principal Zimmerman assisted the last girl, the 19th, off the ladder and watched the other rescuers whisk her off into the schoolhouse, he leaned inside and peered into the dark vault, Timmy. It was still. All he saw were broken pieces of floor floating in the foul water.
I bet that water was foul, too.
Began to fade to me. He clutched his pearls.
Exactly.
His face was as white as chalk, and he would have fallen had people not come to his assistance.
Sack the fuck.
He would have fallen face down into shit, Timmy.
I mean, this guy had it. Come on, that had to be your worst nightmare, Brandy, if you're a principal and you have these kids in your care, and then all of a sudden,
you know what? As a principal, you need to be in the face of an emergency. You need to be calm. You need to be cool hand, goddamn Luke. You can't be fucking crazy and getting the vapors and clutching the pearls. Nobody needs that shit. Go wear a petticoat if that's what you're going to do and get out the fucking way so some 16-year-old boy can have the most fucking sense of anybody there and get a goddamn rope. Get the fuck out of the way, Zimmerman. You're nothing but a fucking albatross.
She's a little critical of Principal Zimmerman, Colonel, but please continue.
Yeah, let me continue, shit. Please, Timmy.
She's judgmental.
Yes.
You're quite judgmental.
Full of hate.
Yeah.
I am. This guy's
He seemed happy the task was over and that all the girls were saved. But he was overcome by the noxious fumes and the horror he had witnessed, as well as the adrenaline rush of his heroic effort.
Heroic effort, Brandy. That's how it was described.
Ever. Between the feigning spells.
Did not consider that the girls were still in the vault under the wreckage. Now, William Shelby and John Correll, the two men with Pastor Lambert, volunteered to go down and search for bodies. Someone gave them a rake, and they climbed down the ladder and waded into the muck. Schultz immediately jumped into...
So they finally found a fucking ladder that could get down there? Is that what this is saying? They finally found a cool ladder that would get down in there? Now, Zimmerman doesn't go down and check that shit out. These kids
He was overcome by the fumes, Brandy.
Right.
Noxious fumes.
He was a little verklempt.
Anyway, they find this little body of a girl, Flora Forsty, and hoisted her up the ladder. She was unconscious but still alive, to me, still clinging. John Steinkamp, apparently one of the girls, was determined to find his girl. He could no longer be persuaded to stay back and climb down the ladder. He was so distraught that he could not make it more than a couple of rungs before he climbed back out again. It was clear he was just getting in the way of the rescuers and had to be comforted by a neighbor. Now, rescuers arrived and started the ghastly process of searching the shit pit for bodies. As each body was brought from the darkness, Steinkamp was the first to brush the slime from their faces and would breathe a sigh of relief when it proved not to be his girl. Now, this sounds like a selfish motherfucker right there. News spread fast through the village by the time the rescue had ended. Hundreds of parents arrived at the scene. Many of them were half-crazed and searching for their children, of course, trying to find the familiar features on the filthy faces, Timmy. The high school classroom became a temporary morgue. In time, rescuers would pull 9 more little girls from the privy vault, Timmy. Dr. Ulysses G. Senior come to the scene to check on his daughter and immediately went to work reviving the fainting victims, gave the last 9 girls hypodermic injections of nitroglycerin, hoping to give a boost to whatever spark of life may have remained.
How do you like how I phrased that? Whatever spark of life that may have remained.
I thought you may have lifted that from Keats, Timmy. Keats was prose that you just don't read every day.
Thank you, Colonel. You appreciate it, Colonel. Brandy doesn't. She just reads it like she's reading.
She just stumbles through it. She reads it like she's reading a 50 Shades of Grey novel, Timmy.
Yeah.
First of all, I stumbled through this like I stumbled through life, okay? We're all now, just trying to get along.
Sisters Carmen and Foster Card, ages 7 and 11, were found tightly in each other's arms and were laid out in the classroom just that way. Foster's twin, Rotha, was with the sisters when the floor collapsed, but she kept her footing and stayed on top of the pile. It took some effort to persuade Steinkamp to give up the body for the temporary morgue, but once he did, he went back to the scene and began to help other parents find out what had happened to their children. By 12:30, the sun was shining. Hamilton County Coroner Walter Weaver arrived in his automobile, as opposed to his Batmobile, I suppose.
This is 1904, so it's impressive that, I mean, the newspapers pointed out he had an automobile because it was 1904. Not everyone had them at the time.
He's the goddamn county coroner. He should have had a fucking car.
You would think he would have a car, yeah.
It's 1904 again.
Word spread quickly, Timmy, and people who worked downtown ran for the 2 trains that led to the village, and they met frantic children and mothers of children pacing in front of the school. There was frantic confusion, Timmy.
Yeah, apparently it became quite the, sensation, and people came from all over the Cincinnati area to check it out.
They came all over, especially from Ross Moyne, and although most of the girls crammed into the privy lived in Pleasant Ridge. The routes between the school and train stations crammed with people. The village telephone system proved to be inadequate to keep up with the demand. Ethel.
Because remember this Rossamoy, this neighboring Yeah, this neighboring village, right? That's where they condemned the school, and all these students were transferred over to Pleasant Ridge, right?
And hundreds of people crowded around every available phone, Timmy waiting a turn. When the adrenaline rush abated, Principal Zimmerman and his teachers, of course, sobbed along with the parents who lost their daughters. Dr. Senior looked at the exhausted and emotionally distraught principal and ordered him to a house across the street. Senior remained there the remainder of the afternoon, suffering from a severe headache brought on by tension and the hours he spent inhaling the noxious fumes.
See, Brandy, he has a headache now, Brandy.
Dr. Senior.
Nine girls ranging from the ages of 9 to 13 died in this tragedy, Timmy. Few died from asphyxiation. Six, Timmy, this is why I couldn't figure it out. Because it was, you know, it's only so deep and these girls are so tall, but six have been trampled to death.
So three of them died of asphyxiation and six from being trampled to death.
They were covered with mud, blood, human waste, and bruises, Timmy. When the last body had been removed, the village fire department began pumping the filth out of the vault. After examining the nine little bodies on the floor, Colonel Weaver investigated the outhouse. Rotten, rotten, rotten were his first words. Everything was rotten. Those joists would not hold anything. By this time, the sun had come out. Weaver ordered the firemen to haul the pieces of broken flooring out to dry. One reporter stuck the point of his umbrellas clear through a 6x2 timber.
Yeah, so
it was just all rotted wood. It was clear to the rescuers that the privy floor and beams were rotten. David Fisher, the local Ohio inspector of factories, workshops, and public buildings, says his office was not required to make inspections of school buildings unless there was a complaint. He never had one until that moment. Then he had a complaint. He had recently inspected the outhouses and ordered
quite a few. At least nine people had complaints.
It's the school in Silverton and Arlington Heights. And he had condemned the school building in Rossmoyne, but he never gotten a complaint about the shit house in Pleasant Ridge. He was the only inspector in Hamilton County, and his time was dominated by factories. And complaints were numerous in 1904, Timmy. Now, the village council canceled its regular meeting that evening because of the tragedy, but the Board of Education convened in the home of its president, the Reverend Frederick Holman. The meeting was as solemn as a funeral because nobody felt like having a goddamn party, I suppose. The five attending members, with one absence, lazy son bitch, couldn't even show up for that. Who in the fuck cares? Issued a statement that seemed to do nothing more than dodge responsibility.
Don't look at me.
Their investigations, but no charges were ever filed or indictments issued, Timmy. Justice is blind, Timmy. School board members maintained to the end that in spite of the coroner's ruling, the rotten timber caused the disaster. There was nothing they could have done to foresee or prevent the privy disaster.
I can think of about
it. Voters of Pleasant Ridge were not convinced, and in the next election, in what is the weakest case of justice in the world, all five were voted off the school board, Timmy.
Yeah, it was. So this accident, this tragedy happened in September, right? The election was in November, and all the school board members were voted off, Brandy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right. That's
the end of that tale, Timmy.
That's the Pleasant Ridge privy disaster or death by poo.
I could have seen it coming. No way it could have been prevented.
They had one inspector, right? And think of all the factories and stuff that were around here. Probably was getting a lot of complaints about that. Who's going to complain about an outhouse at a school?
But they shouldn't have to. All they should have to do is tell Cinnamon, and he needs to fix it. Hey, those joists are rotten. How about we, not hire a guy who's just going to put the floor over the bed?
After this happened, they demolished the boys' privy. They didn't even look at it. They just went ahead and demolished it.
Well, yeah, because it was,
Well, they assumed it. It was, you know, they didn't know. They didn't even expect it. They just demolished it.
Well, they didn't want to fall in.
Brandy, your final thoughts on the Pleasant Ridge Privy disaster of 1904.
I wish those girls had a different principal.
Yeah, that had to be just a, it had to be really, really scary. I mean, you.
Well, yeah.
How much panic, you know, the kid, those kids had to be panicking.
Crazy panic. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah. But Colonel, your final thoughts on the Pleasant Ridge Privy disaster of 1904.
Well, I the whole thing smells funny to me, Timmy.
Okay. Brandy, do you have a New Year's wish for our listening audience?
I just hope that everybody has a happy and safe New Year.
Okay. Did you come up with by yourself or?
Yeah.
Really?
Colonel, do you have a wish for our listening audience for 2019?
You know what? I hope that. And here's something to think about, listeners.
Fuck, you gonna, he wants to think.
You're going to make some resolutions tonight because you're going to be drunk and y'all sitting around.
And let's face it, our listeners drink a lot, Colonel.
Our listeners drink a lot. And if you listen to this show, you fucked up to begin with. All right? So you'll be sitting around half drunk thinking, I'm going to be a better person next year, right?
Nope.
You're not going to be. Okay? Most of you over 30, you've been saying this shit for the last 10 years. You're not going to be better people. Just embrace the train wreck that you are.
And, Colonel, they really should be, you know, instead of thinking about how to improve themselves and putting all the effort in that, they really should be thinking about what they can do for us, Colonel.
Well, I think that couldn't hurt.
Exactly. Well, you're a reverend. You're a man of God.
Yeah.
Do you want to...
The Colonel is the path to God, Brandy.
Nope.
My thoughts and prayers will be with you in the following year. But here's what I'm just trying to tell you. Don't put a bunch of pressure on yourself to be
Thank
better.
The baby Jesus.
Because you did that last year and you failed miserably.
Okay. Right. We would like to thank all the people who are so generous and support this podcast throughout the year. If you would like to support the podcast, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or...
Or just a wee little bit to me.
Everything helps, and we are very, very appreciative of your support. We would like to thank, in no particular order, Shalene, our new Patreon supporter. Shalene, I hope I'm saying her name right. Thank you, Shalene. Jim Seabright, our good friend Jim Seabright. Andrew Scamell. Tommy Lane, aloha, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Terry Strafford, Brandy McBride, Jennifer Savoda, Per Westerman, Maggie Glover, Gracie's mom, Erica Kinney, Hyro, The Comeback Podcast, LK Bar Anuts, I'm probably screwing that up, Reen, Marissa Albanese, of course, the lovely Bridget Clavey, and we're going to say hell... Bridget, we miss you. We love you. Phyllis Munson.
Hail Bridget.
Yes. Phyllis Munson, Jennifer Riker-Smith, Stephen Potts, Anna Garrett, Ben, Ursula or Lenick, Clark and Diane Trowbridge, Beth Ann Wallen, Michelle Johns, your good friend, Colonel, Margaret McDonald, Aaron
next
Turner.
Wife, Timmy. That's my resolution for the next year, Timmy.
Is to marry Michelle Johns.
Michelle
I Wolf. Think Mrs. Colonel will be very happy to hear that.
I think that's her resolution, too.
Jess, Leanne Flanagan, Julia Rodriguez, Mike Sadler, Jamie Dent, Tyrone, Marsha Burris, Stacy Alsop, Jody and Sean Wells, Amber Anderson, Rosanna and Ben from They Walk Among Us, Lorna Violet, Michael Deo, Kelly Charette, Karen Russell Widener, Kelly Jones, Colonel, good friend Kelly Jones.
Kelly Jones, a little ginger devil herself.
I think she's from Florida. You know, and they have all kind of weird things going on. They got weird shit going on there.
The refrigerator blew up in Florida, Timmy.
Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Mike Brown from the Pleasing Terrors podcast, Sarah Bloom, Amber Croup, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Kimberly Cameron, Elise Edrington, History Go Bump Podcast, Diane Student, Amber Trevino, Annette Petray, Lise Lahara Lopes, our good friend Alicia and Chip Mincy, Markia Smith, Jeff and Don Chestnut, Andrew Happ, Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Melissa Montoya, Maja, good friend Karen Garrett, Carol Elise, Christine Malachinsky, Adams McWaters, the Rants and Reason podcast with our good friend the Colonel and Shelley, Karen Garrett. By the way, Colonel, I listened to that. Do you know, have you ever, you're the liberal on there, right?
You're supposed to be the liberal. Yeah.
I really think you need to reconsider that because I don't think you're liberal. Have you done like a Myers-Briggs or something lately?
I have, Timmy, and I find myself, I'm a fence sitter, Timmy.
Mm. He sits on fences, Brandy. Your thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised. Get on with this.
Paula Kind.
I'm liberal when I'm taking things from people, and I'm conservative when I'm giving things.
I see. The Vanish Podcast. Canadian True Crime with our good friend Christy Lee. The Insight Podcast with Charlie and Allie. Angela Santos, Lydia Wasson-Fisher, Kim Stroop, Nicole Adams, better known as Mistress Vader, Ron Monacero, Tracy Smith, Bridget Bernard, Stacy, Cheryl LeBlanc Weldon, Veronica Marino, Chris Lane, Alexandria, Elaine, I've screwed it up, Baker, Vivi, Amanda Lupus, Shannon Arnold, Kimberly Smith, Robin Sherrard, Ruth Keith Whitfield, Casey Kitchens, Nick Johnson, Natasha Burgess, Julie Bentley, Patty Schmidt, our good friend, the lovely Lady Beverly. Lady Beverly, we hope you have a wonderful New Year's. Rudy, the Wonder Dog, and my mom, Dottie Scott.
The world's most dangerous canine.
Yes, he is. So thank you all for supporting the podcast. We love you. And again, if you would like to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/historydweebs, or you can leave us a review on iTunes. We appreciate that, too. That helps other people find us. We would like to wish all of you a very happy, happy new year and a wonderful 2019. Until next time, we'll see you then. Bye, everyone.
Good day.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.